Welcome to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor R. Brett Walker. Have you ever wondered why the accounts of Jesus calling the disciples differ between John's gospel and the others? Well, today we look at this very question as we examine the way Jesus calls us all and how we respond to his call. So grab your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 4, and join us for today's message, Follow Me. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles, either the ones you brought with you or the ones from the pews, to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. It's on page 3 of the New Testament. We are in the midst of a 6-week sermon series that's looking at the early ministry of Jesus Christ. And the first 2 weeks, we're looking at how Jesus calls people. Last week, we looked at the calling of Andrew and Simon and the disciple who is not named, who we believe is John, the apostle, and the different ways that they were called. Andrew came as a seeker, and Jesus said to him, "What are you looking for?" And we said, when people come into the church seeking, we can say to them, "What are you looking for? How can we plug you in to the body of Christ?" And the other type of coming to Christ was Simon, who was invited by his brother Andrew, and he didn't come of his own accord. He was invited, but Jesus gave him a new identity. He said, "You were Simon, the annoying pebble, and now you are rock, the solid foundation." Jesus gave him a new identity. Today we're going to look at the calling of the disciples. The same disciples we saw last week, and it looks like a different story, and in fact it is. We'll get into that in a minute, but please let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I've talked to you in the past about the way that I was called into ministry. And I find it interesting that when Jesus called me, there were two separate callings. First, Jesus called me into the body of Christ. Jesus called me to become part of a church, to become active in a church. And then, after I was established in the church, Jesus called me to become a minister, a pastor. There were two separate callings. In today's reading, we see another calling of Andrew and Simon and James and John. Sometimes it's hard to determine the timeline in the Gospels because they fit together in certain ways. But if we look at some of the evidence, we can piece this together. Last week we talked about the Gospel of John, how the account of John the Baptist saying, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world." Okay? Jesus was coming to him after his wilderness experience. We know this because in the first three Gospels, we are given the account of the baptism. And immediately after the baptism, he goes into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and is tempted by Satan. Now, after the wilderness experience, he comes back to Perea, where John the Baptist is preaching and baptizing, because John references the baptism of Jesus when he talks about him. This account today, which seems like a totally different account, it is a different account, in a different place. It happens after that, because we're told in verse 12, Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison. So John was cast into prison by Herod for calling Herod out on his adulterous affair with his brother's wife. And it says he departed into Galilee. So he was in Perea, and he went into Galilee, which was in the north. And there, it says, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast. Now, Capernaum is this port city. It's a place where the non-Jewish region and the Jewish region sort of come together. It's a crossroads for many different walks of life. And so it is literally Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of all nations. Why did Jesus leave Nazareth? Well, if you read the account in Luke, Jesus went into the synagogue and was preaching, and the people there did not accept him as a teacher. They said, "Isn't this the son of Joseph the carpenter? Didn't we watch this kid grow up in our midst? You know, aren't his brothers and his sisters living among us? We know this guy. He's no one special. He's just a carpenter's kid." And then he said something which upset them, and they took him to a high hill and tried to stone him to death. So that's why he left Nazareth. Well, he left Nazareth, he went into Capernaum, but it also tells us that this was so that the prophecy would be fulfilled. The prophecy that we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 9, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in a region in shadow of death, light is sprung up." Jesus goes into a place of darkness to be the light of the world, to show them that there is something better, to be an example for the Gentiles who are pagans, who don't worship Yahweh, God, the one true and living God. And he was taking the good news to them as well. And it says in verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I like the way that J.B. Phillips translates this. He says, "You must change your hearts, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived." You must change your hearts. Repentance is a change of heart. It's not just saying, "I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've been doing," and then continue doing what you've been doing all along. It's a change of heart. Remember, we spoke about repentance in the past as we're walking in one direction towards sin, and then when we repent, we turn completely around and walk away from sin and towards God. It's a complete change of heart. I like to think of the picture of Lot and his wife from Genesis chapter 19, where when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, the angels told Lot and his wife to flee and to go to Zoar, and that they should not turn and look. don't turn around. They walked, and Lot kept his eyes fixed on where they were going. But his wife missed that old life in that sinful city, all her friends, all her acquaintances. And so she turned around to look, and when she did, she turned into a pillar of salt. When we repent, it's a complete change of heart. We don't turn back to that sinful state. That is left behind us. We are focused solely upon God. And that's what Jesus was calling his people to do. He was preaching the same message that John the Baptist had been preaching in Perea. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was saying, the kingdom of God that you have been waiting for, it's here. So if you have been waiting to repent, now is the time. Now is the time. It was an urgent message. Then it says, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And it says, Simon, who is called Peter, we remember from last week that Jesus gave Simon a new identity. You are no longer that annoying pebble. Now you are rock. You are rock. Solid foundation. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Some modern translations say, I will make you fish for people. The Greek word for men is kind of like the Spanish word for brothers. Hermano. Hermano is a Spanish word which means brother. And hermana is a Spanish word which means sister. But if you have sisters and brothers, you say hermanos. It's masculine. It's the same thing. What they're really saying here is it's not just men who are being called, but people. So, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fish for people. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left their nets. Immediately. There was no hesitation. They got up, they left everything behind, and they went to follow Jesus. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they probably used the same words, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They immediately left. Jesus was saying, the kingdom of God is here. It's among us now. And so there was nothing of the world that was holding them back from leaving everything behind and going to follow him. I think about when Jesus called me into ministry. And he was saying to me, I'm asking you to leave everything behind. This your lifestyle is now gone. You see, at that time I was playing guitar in a punk rock band. I was playing drums in another band. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we were not playing music that honored God in any way, shape, or form. And playing in bars and all that stuff. And God said, I want you to leave all that behind and come and follow me. And I didn't hesitate. Because there's nothing of that life that I desire. There's nothing of that that can hold a candle to what God is in my life. God is like a beacon of light. It's like trying to match the light of a little LED light, you know, up against the sun. You know, it's impossible to compare the two. You ask yourself, well, why was he calling fishermen? Why didn't he go and call pastor or rabbi? Why didn't he call a learned person to preach to his people? Well, to get that answer, we need to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 16 and verses 14 through 16. Therefore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but As the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back to their own land that I gave to their ancestors. And now, verse 16, I am now sending for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall catch them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the clefts of the rocks. So Jesus, by calling fishermen, is pointing to this prophecy. God is casting nets for people and drawing them back to him. They had wandered away, but he was going to catch them and bring them back. Catch them and bring them back. And then we want to look at this immediately, straightway. It's a very stunning thing that they do. They just immediately leave everything behind and go straight to following Jesus. John Gill said it like this: as soon as he had called them, they left their worldly employment and followed him. They gave up themselves to his service and became his disciples. They not only left their nets, but their fishing boats and fishing trade and all that belonged to it, even their substance and all their relations, friends, and acquaintances. What a mighty power went along with the words and call of Christ. And what a ready, cheerful, and voluntary subjection this produces wherever it takes place. When Christ calls us into service, we go immediately, because there's no greater thing. There's nothing that this world can offer. There's nothing that we can hold in our hand, no possession that we can hold, that when we look at it and then look at the glory of God, we don't immediately just drop this and go straight to God. God is God. What can compare to him? The kingdom of heaven. What can this world offer us that is greater than a place in the kingdom of heaven? Nothing. There's nothing. And so when Jesus calls us, he calls us into a life of service. He calls us to leave behind that old life that doesn't glorify God and enter into service, a life that does give him glory. I think about the story of the rich man who came to Jesus. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, it says that a man went up to him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him and he loved him and he said, "There is one thing yet that you lack. Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and then come follow me." And the man went away sad. Where do our loyalties lie? Do they lie in our possessions and the things that we have? Or do they lie in God? That was the question that Jesus was asking this rich man. God doesn't call all of us to sell our possessions and give to the poor. Some people he does. And some people do. Mother Teresa left behind a life of affluence to go into the slums of Calcutta and serve the lepers. Some people do that. But God, when he calls us and he says, "I want all of you. I want your whole heart." Deuteronomy tells us that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. With every fiber of your being, we're called to love God. Why? Because he is God and we are not. Because he created us. He formed us out of the dust of the earth. He breathed life into our nostrils. He is God. We are not. And everything that we are because he made us that way. We We have to love God above all others. He is our God. He is our Creator. And God offers something better than the world. What can compare to the kingdom of heaven? Nothing compares to the kingdom of heaven. What can this world offer us? Everything in this world will fade away, will fall into dust and ruin. But the kingdom of God is eternal. God offers us a life everlasting with Him. And so there's nothing that can compare. And God calls us to love Him unconditionally. Andrew, Simon, James, and John, they didn't hesitate. They didn't say to Him, "Lord, we will follow You. As soon as we're done putting the nets away, You have to fold them just so, or else they get all tangled up, and we don't want to leave that mess for somebody else. Let us put the boats away first, Lord. Let us go home with our Father and have one last dinner with Him." No. Immediately they left their nets and their Father, and they went and followed Jesus. I don't think that God calls us to abandon our families or turn our backs on them. But God asks us to love Him more. To love Him more. Because He is God. He is God. He offers us life. He offers us salvation. He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. No matter what anybody has done for us, nothing can compare to that. And so He asks us to love Him more. God loves us unconditionally. And He calls us to a life of unconditional love for Him. So as we consider this lesson today, let us consider the calling that God has laid upon our hearts. Where has He called you? And how have you responded? Do you, like the disciples, say nothing? Leave your life and the world behind and follow Jesus? Or do you, like the rest of the world, say, "In a minute, God is calling"? Jesus knocks at the door of our hearts and He says, "Follow me. Follow me." What is your response? How will you respond to the calling of Jesus? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we hear Your voice and we respond to Your call. We ask You, Lord, that You be with us and strengthen us in everything that we do. Let there be no hesitation in our hearts from when You call us to when You respond, but let us respond with yes. Let us leave our nets and come and follow You. Fill our hearts, Lord, with a desire to know You more. And it is in the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.